Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda, I'm your host today, and I'm still coming at you from Oceanside, California. Kind of a gray day, it's kind of cold and windy and looking kind of funny. Not sure if we're getting rain, but anyway, I want to welcome everybody. Thanks for joining Cal, guests, Lonnie, Rod, Not Lolo. Mikey was in, I don't know what happened. He's probably trying to get back in, so never know. Anyway, please join us at patriotfamilies.com. That's patriotfamilies with a YS.com. And that's where you can find out about all of our shows and the great blogs and everything else that's going on. So hopefully Bill can join us soon. And also welcome Yola or Nick, whomever is here. Welcome back, Mikey. I know you probably were trying to getting ads. Poor thing. I know. It does it to me, too. I wanted to start today, hopefully people can hear, I'm not sure if you guys type in that you can hear or can't hear you fine, but we'll lose you, just did. Okay, so I guess Blog Talk Radio is going nuts, so we'll hopefully everybody is going to get sound. Anyone who has sound, let me know and I'll continue. So, okay, great. So sometimes it's people's computers, sometimes it's combination or BTR, it's a pain. So I wanted to go with this really cool prayer that I got a hold of from our little pamphlet that we get at church each week. And Lonnie had to log out and get sound again. So it's a prayer for the country, and it's really kind of cool. So I definitely want to make sure that we all get a handle on this, because it's important. And the top of it says, pray for our country every day. Almighty God, you have given us this good land, the United States of America, for our heritage. We humbly implore you that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of your favor and glad to do your will. Bless our land with honorable industry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people the multitudes brought here out of many nations and ethnic groups. And do with the spirit of wisdom those to whom in your name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to your law we may exhibit your praises among the nations of the earth. In the time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble, give us courage that our trust in you does not fail. All this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So that's a nice prayer for the country, and I wanted to also, sometimes if you press that play button up top, it works. Hopefully everyone can hear me. I wanted to go also to another really cool guy who's quite a really, really good Christian, and he has spoken. He's actually been on my show, and I need to get him back on. His name is Bradley Dean, and I think he's out of Minnesota, but he's really cool. And this was on the Second Amendment. It says, we the people are the militia. Go ahead and keep armed. And he says, actually, there was another quote from George Washington, to be prepared for war is one of the most effective means of preserving peace. Yeah, well, somebody should tell that to our Senate. Anyway, going on with Bradley saying, America knows that one great obstacle this criminal administration is trying to get over is the disarming of the American people. If it is not President Barack Hussein Obama blaming the American people for the crimes he and his administration are responsible for committing in Mexico, then it is his sidekick, Attorney General Eric Holder, trying to teach the media to brainwash America's young. In concert, they have an ally and fellow minion, the relentless criminal from New York, former Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who is assaulting the Second Amendment rights of those in other states within our nation. If only the American people would take the time to pull back the curtain on these criminals, we would find that they are neck deep in crimes against we the people. We would find that we have an outlaw wanting to rule the law abiders by any means necessary. The Second Amendment states a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. There are certain criminal politicians that know they cannot get through the front door, so they attempt to come through in another way, namely through their own interpretation. They say that it is only for the militia to bear arms. We are also told through the state-run media, of course, that our modern-day military is the militia. But are they really? Who are the militia? Aren't they we the people? Congress has no power to disarm the militia. Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. The unlimited power of the sword is not in the hands of either the federal or state governments, but where I trust in God, it will ever remain in the hands of the people. That was Tench Cox, delegate for Pennsylvania to the Continental Congress, and that was 1788. Instead of highlighting dictators and their deceptive methods in disarming their people right before a mass genocide, let's take a look at what some of our founding fathers said about guns, the average citizen's right to own them, and who the militia really was and is. John Adams, quote, "Arms in the hands of the citizens may be used at individual discretion for the defense of the country, the overthrow of tyranny, or private self-defense." Thomas Jefferson, quote, "The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government." George Mason, quote, "When the resolution of enslaving America was formed in Great Britain, the British Parliament was advised by an artful man who was governor of Pennsylvania to disarm the people, that it was the best and most effectual way to enslave them, but that they should not do it openly, but weaken them and let them sink gradually. The people have a right to mass and to bear arms, that a well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people trained to arms is the proper, natural, and safe defense of a free state." He goes on, "I ask, who are the militia? They consist now of the whole people. Friends, our forefathers did not arm the American people for the purpose of hunting, but rather to protect themselves from those who were doing the hunting, namely, in their time, the tyrant King George. The Second Amendment is only to vouchsafe our right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and to ensure all of the other rights given unto us by our Creator. The wisdom of the framers of the Constitution is found consistent with lessons from the Bible that they used as their bedrock for civil law. The people's individual protection should always be a primary concern for a government of the people. In a righteous country, self-government reigns by the constraint of Christian morals, or the constraint of Christian morals. The civil government that desires such a monopoly of force, i.e., they are the only ones with guns, is a threat to the lives, liberty, and property of its citizens. This government ceases to be of and for the people. President George Washington said, quote, "From the hour the pilgrims landed to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace, security, and happiness, the rifle and the pistol are equally indispensable. The very atmosphere of firearms everywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that is good," end quote. And that is from our friend Bradley Dean. I really, really like him. So also welcome FT and everyone that's in there. And so we have also Kenneth Lachlan, and welcome to everybody. And Cal says, "Obama has his eyes set on America rather than Russia." Well, that's been the case for a long time. Also, I wanted to continue, and again, as soon as I'm finished with this piece, we can have people calling in. I'm not sure if others will call. I'm not sure if Ken from Vista will call, so we'll find out. Okay, I do have Mikey. I'm going to go and pick him up. Hey, Mr. Hot Seat, how are you?
Yeah, no, Linda, I put in the chat room. BTR is doing its wonderful job again, transmitting beautifully. So I had to dial in. I'm going to put myself on mute.
Okay.
So you can
anytime
leave me unmuted.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll just mute myself, okay?
Okay, and then when you want to weigh in, we'll do that. So you can
Excellent.
Bring yourself back in. Awesome. Excellent. Thanks. Okay, let's continue. This is my last natural law from in the book of Jekyll Island, and this is talking about the financial stuff and the monetary system. And this is the last one, number five. It says, "It is human nature for man to place personal priorities ahead of all others. Even the best of men cannot long resist the temptation to benefit at the expense of their neighbors if the occasion is placed squarely before them. This is especially true when the means by which they benefit is obscure and not likely to be perceived as such. There may be exceptional men from time to time who can resist the temptation, but their numbers are small. The general rule will prevail in the long run. A managed economy presents men with precisely that kind of opportunity. The power to create and extinguish the nation's money supply provides unlimited potential for personal gain. Throughout history, the granting of that power has been justified as being necessary to protect the public, but the results have always been the opposite. It has been used against the public and for the personal gain of those who control. Therefore, when men are entrusted with the power to control the money supply, they will eventually use that power to confiscate the wealth of their neighbors." Not great. So let us go to the last piece of this is, and then I'm going to ask people to weigh in because I'm not sure who's calling and who isn't. Cal says, "Linda, also the greater the reward, the greater the desire to do others harm." Well, that monetarily may be true, and then that there's psychopaths. They just go out and, you know, shoot people, so that's not good. This was the suggestions that was laid out by G. Edward Griffin, and they were suggestions. They're not etched in stone, such as the Ten Commandments, so we have to remind ourselves of these. So we may or may not agree with all of them, but they were just ideas to roll this all back in the monetary system and to undo the Fed if we so desire. Number one would be to repeal the legal tender laws. The federal government will continue accepting Federal Reserve notes in the payment of taxes, but everyone else will be free to accept them or reject them or discount them as they wish. There is no need to force people to accept honest money. So that's just a summary of that one. And then the second one is freeze the present supply of Federal Reserve notes, except for what will be needed to in step number six, and that is pay off the national debt with Federal Reserve notes. But number three is define the real dollar in terms of precious metal content, preferably what it was in the past, 371.25 grains of silver. It could be another weight of silver or even another metal, but the old silver dollar is a proven winner. That's just, again, his humble opinion. Number four, establish gold as an auxiliary monetary reserve, which can be substituted for silver, not at a fixed price ratio, but at whatever ratio is set by the free market. Fixed ratios always become unfair over time as the prices of gold and silver drift relative to each other. Although gold may be substituted for silver at this ratio, it is only silver that is the foundation for the dollar. Number five, restore free coinage at the U.S. Mint and issue silver dollars as well as gold pieces. Both dollars and pieces will be defined by metal content, but only coins with silver content can be called dollars. Half dollars, quarter dollars, or tenth dollars, dimes. At first, these coins will be derived only from metal brought into the mint by private parties. They must not be drawn from the treasury supply, which is reserved for use in step number six, and that is, he's serious about this, pay off the national debt with the Federal Reserve notes that were created for that purpose. Creating money without backing is forbidden by the Constitution. Number seven, pledge the government's hoard of gold and silver, except the military stockpile, to be used as backing for all the Federal Reserve notes in circulation. The denationalization of these assets is long overdue. Number eight, determine the weight of all gold and silver owned by the U.S. government and then calculate the total value of that supply in terms of real silver dollars. Number 9, determine the number of all Federal Reserve notes in circulation and then calculate the real dollar value of each one by dividing the value of the precious metals by the number of notes. 10, retire all Federal Reserve notes from circulation by offering to exchange them for dollars at the calculated ratio. There will be enough gold or silver to redeem every Federal Reserve note in circulation. Number 11, convert all contracts based on Federal Reserve notes to dollars using the same exchange ratio that includes the contracts called mortgages and government bonds. In that way, monetary values expressed within debt obligations will be converted on the same basis and at the same time as currency. Issue silver certificates. As the Treasury redeems Federal Reserve notes for dollars, recipients will have the option of taking coins or Treasury certificates, which are 100% backed. These certificates will become the new paper currency. 13, abolish the Federal Reserve system. It would be possible to allow the system to continue as a check clearinghouse so long as it did not function as a central bank. I agree with that one. A check clearinghouse will be needed, and the banks that presently own the Fed should be allowed to continue performing that service. However, they must no longer receive tax subsidies to operate, and competition must be allowed. However, the Federal Reserve System, as presently chartered by the Congress, must be abolished. Introduce free banking. Banks should be deregulated at the same time cut loose from protection at taxpayers' expense. No more bailouts. The FDIC and other government insurance agencies should be phased out and their functions turned over to the real insurance companies in the private sector. Banks should be required to keep 100% reserves for demand deposits because that is a contractual obligation. All forms of time deposits should be presented to the public exactly as CDs are today. In other words, the depositor should be fully informed that his money is invested and that he will have to wait a specified time before he can have it back. Competition will ensure that those institutions that best serve their customers' needs will prosper. Those that do not will fall by the wayside without the need of an army of bank regulations. Reduce the size and scope of government. This is a good one. No solution to our economic problems is possible under socialism. It is the author's view that the government should be limited to the protection of life, liberty, and property and nothing more. That means the elimination of almost all of the socialist-oriented programs that now infest the federal bureaucracy. Boy, I'm with him on that one. If we hope to retain or perhaps regain our freedom, they simply have to go. To that end, the federal government should sell all assets not directly related to its primary function of protection. It should privately subcontract as many of its services as possible, and it should greatly reduce and simplify its taxes. Restore the last one. Restore national independence. A similar restraint must be applied at the international level. We must reverse all programs leading to disarmament and economic interdependence. The most significant step in that direction will be to get us out of the UN and the UN out of the United States. But that will be just the beginning. There are hundreds of treaties and administrative agreements that must be rescinded. There may be a few that are constructive and mutually beneficial to us and to other nations, but the great majority of them will have to go. This is not because we are isolationists. It is simply because we want to avoid being engulfed in global tyranny. And that is that. So, again, Mikey, if you want to weigh in on that, and anyone that wants to call in, it is 646-378-0321. I did have an hour and a half today, because I was thinking that others were going to call in from my area. So I'm going to go ahead and post that. Mike, come ahead and weigh in, please.
Sure. That'll be fine. These are nice thoughts, but you must realize that that's not going to happen. First of all, I think with the UN, if I'm not mistaken, part of New York City, that's like their property. I think they have like a lifetime contract or something of that nature. And second of all, Washington, D.C., which is owned by the cartels, well, they're not going to end these treaties. So, I mean, these are nice thoughts.
Oh, I know.
But it's not realistic. See, once again, you know, we can't just wait for the people in charge to wake up one morning and have an epiphany that they've been the bad guys and now they're going to be good. I want to
bring in 906 area code. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Linda. How are you this evening?
My goodness, this is Michael. Oh my gosh.
Is that
how
the
are
magic
you doing?
Man?
Mr. Magic.
Indeed, it is.
Oh, praise the Lord, you're back. Been
glad
praying
to hear
for
you, Mike.
You can definitely say praise the Lord, I am back, because I was literally grasped from the jaws of death.
Wow.
I spent 2 weeks in the hospital. Up until 3 days ago, I was walking with a walker, and I'm just starting to walk on my own now for about a half hour to an hour a day.
Awesome.
So it's been a very, very trying time, I will tell you.
My goodness. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I mean, we're just like, everybody's super happy. Bill says, Michael, you can probably see because you're in the chat room. I finally, because I had quite a nice audience, that's a blessing. Thank you, folks, for all coming in. So, again, if you guys, anyone else wants to weigh in and talking about what I was speaking on, it is 646-378-0321. So, God, and how's your wife doing? How's that going?
My wife is fine. She was not hospitalized
good.
At all.
Okay.
She had some minor injuries, but we were in a small car.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
that right. didn't help at all. And I was in the passenger side, and we were what's called T-boned on a U.S. highway by a car coming 55 miles an hour running a red light. The whole thing is like, I don't remember a lot of it, thank God.
It's retroactive amnesia. That happened to me when I broke my arm and my ankle years ago. My, at the time, husband wrapped us around a telephone pole, and he was blitzed out of his mind. That's a long story, but, so thank God you don't remember it. I know, absolutely. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad that you're here.
Well, I came to, put my two cents in, as always, and, many of you may not agree with me. Many of you may not even want to hear it, okay? But what I am about to tell you is, Bible-based, period, And if you focus on earthly things, that's what you are going to end up with, earthly things, okay? But if you focus on God and heavenly things, then you have focused and you have something called eternity, eternal life.
Right. Amen.
I started going back to
church. You're going to love that. And I've been praying in church openly, as we do, for others, for healing. And it seems to be working, and you are living proof of it. So I'm just, praising the Lord. I open my show with a prayer for our country. I don't know if you caught any of it, but.
Yeah, I did. I was in here as a guest for about 10 minutes or so. I don't know.
Okay. Awesome.
But, I thought I would call in because it's been a while, and
yes.
Jay, from the network Truth Radio where I'm currently at, said that he was over here and he had talked to you.
Yes,
about
it was nice to hear from him. He told us, and so everybody was, believe me, praying like the minute we heard. So you will be able to count on us as Patriot families because we're there. We do walk with him. We don't play. It's not like a once-a-week thing with me either. I have been praying at night for others and for this country since, probably 4 or 5 years solid, walking closer and trying to elevate my relationship with him because otherwise, no one else is going to do it for me. And it makes him happy. In fact, I did go with my friend Pat on Sunday, no, Friday, last Friday, to see Son of God by Roma Downey, which is just a portion of that one they did on the History Channel. My mom had taped it for me. It was fantastic. So it's a fabulous movie. Anyone who's a Christian and loves the Lord is going to love this movie. It's just amazing. It just makes you feel like you're right there with him. It's just so cool. It's really neat. So.
Well, that's awesome. You know,
yes.
I just know that from, you know, everything that I read in my Bible, which is a King James Version Bible, I mean, that what is going to happen to, you know, the United States, what is going to happen to this world is predestined. It doesn't matter what we try to do with it. It's, I mean, you can pray all you want for this or that for the United States, okay? But what is God's will is God's will, period. And that's in the Bible. If you go and look for it, it will tell you. It's not going to say United States, okay? But, I mean, it tells you the signs of the times. And you look around you and you see those things. And this is why I say, you know, there's so much more to gain from, you know, focusing on heavenly things and believing that Christ, you know, died for the forgiveness of your sins, and becoming a born-again Christian, and, you know, just, you know, staying more focused on that than on earthly things, because God has already predestined that to happen, and it's going to happen, period.
Right.
You know,
well, that's right. I mean, I hear you about when you're evangelizing. I have already, it was been many years now, but I always try to reiterate that in my heart, that he is my personal Savior, that I did repent, that I took him as my Lord and Savior. And I love that passage of John 3:16. It just pretty much says a whole lot that you need to know about, you know, our Lord Christ. So that's important for everyone to get. And I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of us in this chat room who feel that way and believe that way. So
that's awesome, Linda. And, you know, I didn't call to interrupt your program by any means. I just wanted to let everybody know that I am okay and I'm finally starting to walk.
Such good news.
Don't ever take walking, something as simple as walking
for granted.
Because, I mean, you're sitting in a car 1 second and the next second you can't walk for 2 months.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, I lost my – I was almost in a wheelchair before I had my back surgery, and that was because of degenerated discs, and it was bad enough. Thank God I could walk after that, but it was very scary. I know. I mean, anyone that I see who has trouble walking, whether they're an elderly person, an injured person, or someone who's in a wheelchair or has one of those walkers, I am so helpful to them because I know what it's like. I know how scary it is and how not good it is. I'm always giving them latitude and opening doors and, you know, slowing down and things like that, because it's just, I mean, yeah, you just have to count your blessings every minute. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's, and my wife and I have just really been blessed for having, you know, our faith that we have, you know, Christ is our Savior. We've really been blessed by family and friends with things that, I mean, I could go on for an hour and tell you, which I still have done a show on Truth Radio Network yet, since, you know, I think late in December sometime. My accident happened January 9th.
Oh, my gosh.
But I will be towards the end of March. I'll be starting doing my Christian shows over at Truth Radio Net again.
Okay.
And it's just we really, really been blessed. You look around and it, you know, it's like, is this just a coincidence or is this a miracle? You know, if these are just coincidences, then I should have won the lottery like 10 times already. You know.
Exactly. No, you're right. When you're and you're right to study the Bible, because then you can have things revealed to you. It is true. It's our blueprint, pretty much. And I do also have the King James Version. It's just the one that I happen to have. So, and I like the words of Jesus written in red, so it's kind of fun. But what I was also going to – I'm just so glad to hear your voice. And you can stay on the line if you want and do whatever. But I was noticing that they had some problems. I believe there was it was on Facebook, because they were having the problems in Connecticut. And I haven't heard the rest of that story, because we left a little bit of it kind of because we don't know what's going to happen in that state. But there was something going on in Maryland where they were also infringing upon the rights of people to have guns, et cetera.
Yeah, they want to confiscate 110,000 citizens' guns. And my answer to that is try it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And then there was, what was it, Lois Lerner? Again,
yeah, she's refused to testify. She claimed the Fifth, and there was total disarray at the hearings. Just a total bedlam.
What was the guy's name? Cummings, congressman or something? The guy that was screaming at ISIS, because ISIS was what's the
went
point?
Off. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, Bill said one state at a time. Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. And people have got to. We can't lose this one, Mikey. We can't. I mean, there's. I'm sorry.
Well, but maybe the people of Maryland ought to just start doing a mass exodus. I mean, hey, I found a new job in Texas in 5 weeks.
Good for you. I think that's amazing.
If I can do it, you know, why can't anyone else do it?
There's people in North Dakota. I know it's not the best place to live, maybe, but that's a boom town. They are begging for people to work in every industry, because they need housing, they need people to go to Walmart and work for $17 an hour. They need Subway's paying $16 an hour because they're trying to staff them so they can feed these hungry oil riggers, man. I mean, the fracking guys. Yeah, it's amazing. There's just a whole lot of stuff going on with our country. Of course, we've got the Ukraine situation. We've got what was the other stuff I was hearing today? Of course, there was stuff here locally, too, where our idiot downtown San Diego City Council, we have a libtard named Marty Emerald. She used to be on Channel 9 or 10 as a one of the news anchors, and then she got fat and ugly. She had to go in, you know, she had to go into politics. I'm sorry.
She's a Democrat, because what is it about these Democrats? Do they have, like, an ugly girl contest? Okay, she qualifies. I mean, they're all skanks. And they all look like men, most of them. Whereas the Republicans, they've got the hot chicks.
I know they do. Michelle Malkin's one of them that comes to mind. And I think it went when she does her makeup just right, what's her face, the blonde chick that's always on Hannity.
Ann Coulter?
Ann. She's pretty cool.
Michael Magic is on the line. I'm going to shut up.
I know. Michael Magic is Italian. He can't help himself.
I got a question for you guys, and you know, I mean, you can go crazy answering this one, okay? You know, there's a lot of stuff. We got the Ukraine stuff going on. We got the gun thing going on up in the small little states up there. We're going to try, you know, one at a time. When is there not a lot of stuff going on, you know?
Never.
True.
It's constant.
Right.
It's constant. It's the signs of the times. It's constant.
Yeah, it's a lot of it is distraction. A lot of it is it's on purpose. And, you know, I need to do my homework better, because there's so much out there that is such disinformation. We, like I said, we've got to, like, really filter, be real careful and start. And you're right, Michael Magic, as far as getting close to God, because that's where your truth's going to get revealed, and on this side and the other side as well. But you have to really be discerning and ask for discernment in your life, because that's going to part of the key. And Bill says it's coming from every angle, and that's true, because they're doing, again, that's their tactic. That's part of it. And I know that there's powers that be. I know both of you, Michaels, have talked about this on your shows in the past and currently about the Illuminati, you know, the banksters. I covered all the stuff that I wanted to finish of the Creature from Jekyll Island. I am halfway through my new book, Behind the Green Mask by Rosa Khoury. Amazing book talking about, she lays out how they're doing this Agenda 21 locally. And she happens to be from the San Francisco Bay Area, and she's seen it firsthand. She and Heather Gass are both in the real estate businesses, and that's how they became aware of this eminent domain stuff and started getting their education and started figuring out what was going on. I don't know if that makes sense. They were seeing it, and they were watching the Delphi meetings and actually figuring out how to counteract those types of meetings. We did a pretty good job. There was people that had never been to them before, and I had been to several in other cities and the one in Oceanside, and I just started, you know, there was a lot of people just because they knew something was inherently wrong that day, felt it, they were pushing back. And I was holding up stuff from Sandag and explaining to people, look, this is coming from their own website. They want to take you out of your cars. It's right here in black and white. It's not from me. It's out of their mouths. And it's like, it's insidious what they're doing and how they've done it. And it's taken them a long time. Going all the way back to about 1974, and 1970 with the Earth Day in Sacramento, and then the regionalism of 74 and some of this implementation. Now there's some regionalism that's okay because it, you know, when you have a road that goes from one city to the next, you don't want it to just drop off and stop and become dirt. So that's, you know, something that's coordinated, but the NGOs and the public private partnerships and this Agenda 21 at its core is evil, and they're doing it, and it's not a fun situation. So I just wondered if there was any other topics that you had seen in the news lately, Mikey B, that you wanted to bring up.
No, I think you pretty much covered them.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why, though, you know, we're bombarded with all this stuff only because we have 24-hour news and the internet. You know, it's not like the world was quiet 50, 60 years ago. You just didn't have access to it.
Well, you weren't aware
so
of it.
All,
like, what,
it's
was
all
it?
Relative. Yeah. Well, we're
that's
only aware
true.
Because we've got the internet. We've got 24-hour news service.
We've got
if you took
tech,
that away, if you took that away, you'd only have the local paper or the New York Times or the L.A. or what have you.
Right. You have the technology that allows us to be connected instantly almost anywhere in the world.
Right. So,
or anywhere.
So to say that worldly action has escalated, are we sure? Or is it just that we have better exposure to it due to technology?
It's more in your face. It's all there. And I'm pretty sure that Michael Magic could expound on the coming times, because the end times, because what I was looking at, and this was like about 2 or 3 days ago on Glenn Beck's show, because he's been talking about this, and he's got people from Google on his show writing books about this stuff. And then he's got Ray Kurzweil, who's completely off the rails and very much into artificial intelligence. And then you're looking at now that even the movie's coming out with this transhumanism stuff. Oh, I can't remember the name of that one, but the one that's going against the grain is called Divergent, and the other one, it's not the digital age, but it's about transhumanism, and Johnny Depp's in it, and I saw both those previews when I was seeing Son of God. Amazing stuff. So, I mean,
forget that the movie Noah is coming out at the end of this month, Russell Crowe. I want to go to an IMAX for that one, because with the flood scenes and all, that's going to be awesome.
Oh, guess what you're going to find out about that one? I shouldn't spoil this for you.
Don't.
Okay.
Quiet. You know. I think we're exposed to more action. And one thing I will agree with Mr. Magic on is that, Linda, you know, I know you pray for the United States, but let's just look at World War II, for instance. Don't you think the Nazi soldiers were praying for Germany? I mean, so who does God listen to? I don't think God is really appealing to different countries. I mean, after all, his son fought the establishment, and the establishment is just as broken here as it was 2,000 years ago. So,
I was just doing it because I happen to live here. And it's not that I don't try to include everyone, you know, like in Somalia and Rwanda, because I know those people are hurting too, in my nightly dreams. This was just because you know, we're trying. Based on what we're dealing with the lack of our Constitution being upheld, et cetera. That's kind of where I was coming from. If you want to go around the globe and pray for all of them, we can do that too. Absolutely. Dear Lord, pray for every single child, mother, person, soldier, whatever, peoples, and their cats. I mean, let's get them healed. Let's get them happy and freedom and unoppressed and all that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, Lord. I do. I think about all these people. It's not that I don't. I just, you know, wanted to do a nice opening prayer, and, you know, that's kind of where I was coming from.
Sure.
So,
I'm ready for another 2 cents.
Go ahead.
Because I keep trying to get my point across, but I just seem unable to do it. So I'm going to give it to you in black and white. As clear as it can get, okay? How many people in the chat room in the United States and the world are worried about what's going on right now with everything? How many people are worried about that?
I'm not.
Now, this is where it gets very black and white, okay? Worry is the complete and total opposite, as far as the Bible is concerned, and God, when you compare it to having faith in God, mm-hmm. Are you going to trust God or are you going to trust man? Are you going to worry or are you going to put your faith in God? It doesn't get any simpler. It's as simple as that. It's in the Bible. Either you believe in God, you believe in the Bible, his word, or you believe in something else. But that's the black and white of it. That is the truth of it. Worry is the opposite of faith, plain and simple.
Right. I agree with you. And people are worried about what's happening, and they are not walking by faith, but they're walking by sight. And they're not putting their trust. I think a lot of us who are naturally optimistic, I know that our friend Terry Rowland always calls herself an optimist because she's a teacher, and she says, I teach middle kids. If I were not an optimist, I don't think I'd be sitting here speaking in one piece. So I was gifted by heritage. My dad was an eternal optimist, and I am as well. And I think the more I study scripture and the more that I educate myself, the more optimistic that I can become. But so that peace comes through faith. You're right, Michael. It comes through the knowledge of the word. It really does, because if I don't turn to him and if I don't understand that there has to be a balance in my life, you might as well just put me in the same rubber room as Harry Reid belongs in, because that's where I'm headed. So I understand what you're saying. And we as humans, we tend to worry, but you can't live your life like that. You know, I mean, that's it. You have to have that
faith.
I'm not going to.
I mean, I have, I spent 6 years, Linda, before I joined Patriot Family full time, mm-hmm. because of my epilepsy. I was home. I spent, 6-7 hours a day, 6 days a week researching all of this stuff, everything
right.
that I did on my shows before I changed the format mm-hmm. of
right.
my shows. And it was through continuous prayer that the Holy Spirit led me and told me, okay? I mean, I didn't hear voices. I didn't see angels. But he told me, I felt it. It was in
right.
me, okay, to get up and change the format of your show because
right.
that is what's important. That is
right.
what's
and
important.
What,
and I'm not,
what, you know,
I mean.
I know. Here's what happens to people. Everybody gets their messages from the Lord, I think, a little differently. Mine come from, like, what they call that gut feeling or that small voice inside the middle of you and, you know, that gives you common sense and flight or fight information. To me, that's the prodding from the Holy Spirit. That's the prompting that I get. And again, a lot of common sense, because the Lord wants to protect us from not only ourselves, but outside harm. And so, and the more you can meditate and contemplate with him and pray to him and talk to him, I think you're opening yourself up. He wants us to be open to him. He hates it when we limit him or cut him off. He's just wishing that every second we would be more open to him, that we could understand his agape love, etc., and let his light shine through us. He wants us to want Christ more deeply embedded in our lives. I mean, like you say, it doesn't get much simpler than that. I still have to navigate through my world now because I'm still a living, breathing human. So I think there's rules for that too, and I'm sure they're all listed in the Bible, and some of them are the commandments and others are more common sense things. So until I go to the other side, I still have some worry, I still have some things, you know what I'm saying, but I can limit my worry by looking for the faith and understanding, you know, as long as I put on the whole armor of him, I'm going to be fine. I can't live my life in fear. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense to me. Whether I'm a political activist or I'm not, I still have to look upon him for my answers and then go ahead in the earthly fashion and see what's out there to try to find the truth. And once that truth crisscrosses with the Bible, then I know it's solidly, you know. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, absolutely. And not that I'm trying to, you know, I do none of this when I talk, you know, on your show or my show on Truth Radio Network. I do none of this for my glory, but for the glory of God. And I only saw one little thing, and it was probably just, you know, a mistake by you when you were talking about, you know, you said something about how God hates us when we don't follow him all the time and stuff. God doesn't hate human beings.
No.
God loves all human
beings.
He hates sin. He hates sin is what
it
is.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And we need to, you know, like I said, we need to focus on, you know, doing God's work here on earth more than we do about, you know, what's going on with everything else, because if you're going to focus on what's going on earth, that's what you're going to end up with.
Right. I mean, we still live in it, so there are things like I think we're supposed to be good stewards of the earth and try not to pollute it, and I'm not talking about being, you know, one of the green mask monsters, and being a totalitarianism person against another person's freedoms, but to make sure that we still have clean air and decent water and that we have good food to eat and things like that, and we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. We want to make sure that our communities are decent to live in and others' needs are met as well as we can through charity and those types of things. Those are realities that we live with every day. I think Jesus talks about those things in the Sermon on the Mount and in other places in the Bible. So, and I just am trying to educate myself not only on the biblical things, but as what's going on, so that maybe I can help while I'm here steer the country and the others into the directions that might be wise, that might be good for us, like the founders did. That's just where I'm coming from. So,
You know, you make a very good point, you know, and we do need to do that, you know. It's what my name is all about, living for God. You know, I'm a human being and I make mistakes, but I do everything that I can to live my life for the glory of God and to hopefully to help some people to come to know who Jesus Christ really is, okay? You know? And for some of the people in the chat room here, you know, man was made in the image of God. I don't think he was sorry he created man. But anyway, you know, so I just like to pray for everyone in the chat room here and everyone listening that, you know, they might take some time to study God's word, just to take some time to, you know, pray to him on a daily basis. It doesn't have to be long. You know, just talk to him, you know, and read your Bible, go to church, find you know, a
right.
good Christian pastor, church, whatever, that teaches from the Bible, God's Word, okay?
Yep.
And you will be so inspired. I mean, God
is
alive. God
right.
is alive,
and
He is well. And I'm going to tell you this one thing, okay? And it's the only time in my life it's ever happened, okay? When I was in my car accident, we were at a standstill, and we were making a left turn. We were in the middle lane of a four-lane mm-hmm. highway, U.S. Highway 41. We were in the middle lane getting ready to make a left turn, and somebody ran the red light. So we were going about 2 miles an hour, okay? Now, my door, right where I was, got hit, okay? And I don't know if I looked or if my peripheral vision,
mm-hmm.
but this is what I saw. And this is the first thing and the last thing for just about the next week that I remember was just a round, very, very bright light, okay?
Mm.
Now, you can call it whatever you want. As far as I'm concerned, that may very well have been an angel that was in between that car and myself, because if you know what a Chevy Aveo is, it's about as big as a sardine can,
oh dear.
Okay? It's a very, very small car, and they had to cut the top off of this car to get me out. I was unconscious for 20 minutes. My wife sat in the car until police and paramedics came to hold my head up because I was unconscious. And,
oh, my gosh.
But, you know, so I really should be dead. You know, when you think about what happened.
I really should be dead.
But something happened to prevent that. Something happened to keep me alive because God is telling me that I have more
purpose
work
to do.
I have more work. Do some more of my work here on earth and help people get to know me, get to know the love that I have for them.
Right.
You know, so
absolutely.
Linda, it's been great here talking with you, and I do not want to take over your show, you know, completely here. So I'm going to go back into the chat room, and
okay.
I'm going to let you go ahead with your show here and that. But please, everybody, take some time to get to know Christ, because I
absolutely.
Promise you, God is alive and well, and when you bring Him into your life, you will have the greatest adversary, help, whatever you want to call it, that you can have. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, the blessings that you will receive.
Yes.
It's just amazing. So
thank you, Michael,
that,
so much, and God bless you. Thank you so much.
You're very well welcome, and blessings to everyone in the chat room there, and maybe I'll get a chance to stop in here again
absolutely.
Here sometime. Take care, everyone, and have a great evening.
Thanks, Mike.
Good night, Michael. We love you.
love you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, so now we have our wonderful evangelistic sermon today, and I love it, and I'm so happy he's here, and I'm so happy he's okay, because that is terrifying. We were all praying for him and his wife. So just, God, it was great to have him in there. So, Mike B., is there anything you want to add? We have plenty of time, so.
Micah. Chapter 6, verse 8, which I had quoted a few weeks ago on my show. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Part of doing justice is pointing out and fighting injustice. As Thomas Jefferson said, resistance to tyranny
mm-hmm.
is obedience to God. And, you know, if we're supposed to copy Jesus' life on earth. Well, what did he do? He fought the establishment. Did he not? I mean, he didn't just say...
Yeah, he did.
You know, he didn't just say, you know, just pray and everything will be fine. Book of James, Jesus' brother, said faith without works is dead. Now, part of those works aren't just, you know, feeding the poor or handing over your coat.
Mm-hmm.
It's, again, it's fighting injustice. And as Christians, if you truly believe you are,
right,
you're obligated. You're obligated to fight those injustices.
Exactly, and I think that what's happening to us in our land, of course, as you know, and it has been going on for a very long time, and I'm going to quote Glenn Beck here because he was talking about this too, and it was kind of funny because he makes me laugh. But he said sometimes, and most of the time, there are factions in our government who look upon us as chattel. And so I'm going to still paraphrase, and he said, first of all, I am not a cow. And I am not a sheep, and you people certainly are not my shepherd. And that I agree with 100%, because I know who my shepherd is, and those people don't know him, or it doesn't appear that they do. So I just thought that was kind of fun. I love Glenn when he does stuff like that, because it's, you know, he's giving it back to him. He's dishing it back, which is fine. You know, we have to stand up for our rights. I hope you would agree with that. So, oh, Bill was typing in the chat room. Did I lose you, Mikey?
No, I'm still here. And again, you know, it just boggles my mind. There are many ways to fight without swinging a sword. And the establishment that Christ was fighting against wasn't necessarily Rome. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and it was the Pharisees' oppressive stance against the Jewish people. And Christ fulfilled Scripture, and Christ did go against the Pharisees. Did he not throw the tables in the temple? I believe he did. Did he not get into the face of the Pharisees and call them corrupt, evil people, sons of Satan? Yes, he did. See, fighting isn't about throwing a punch. And this is, read your Bibles, folks, and see what Jesus did, okay?
Okay, then, I have another caller,
and
I want to...
back to me. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. 760, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi there, Linda.
Hey, it's my friend Ken from Vista. Welcome.
I just realized that I'm an hour out of sync.
But you know what? We still have time. We have a half an hour. So,
oh, cool.
There was, I covered a whole bunch of stuff. I did do the prayer for the country, and then I got into my stuff, and then I had a couple callers, and I still have Mike on the line and plenty of people in the chat room. So, and I know that there was a lot of things going on in the news in the last couple of days, but there's still the Ukraine situation, so I'm not sure what topic you wanted to go with.
Well, I was thinking about... really the fact that we've essentially established the fact that Obama in his administration has undone the entire multi-administration effort ending with Reagan to free Eastern Europe from essentially the treason that was done them at Yalta in 1945. That ought to get people excited.
Yeah, so...
I guess it starts with here. There is this long, liberal, endless moan and wail
mm-hmm.
that all considerations about FDR's cabinet and their loyalty to the U.S. are non-useful things to investigate. But one of the interesting things that happened at the end of the Cold War is that a good deal of what was in file cabinets in Russia became exposed to the West. And we discovered, for example, that the assistant, I think it was the assistant secretary for of state at the time, who was later prosecuted for treason by Richard Nixon, under
wow.
the McCarthy, during the McCarthy hearings, was indeed and in fact a Stalin asset. And along the way, and that's one of the reasons that Churchill felt so totally betrayed, is because he thought that they were going to have deal one about the Eastern European states, and the United States suddenly buckled and basically agreed with Russia taking the Eastern European states as part of the Soviet Union, and took, I've forgotten the exact number of administrations thereafter until Reagan, to end that. But starting at the beginning of Obama's administration, one of the very first things he did was cancel an anti-missile site in Poland. And people need to understand why that's significant. Back in 2009, I published, and it was sent around in a lot of places, the and I'll be happy to send it to you, so that, Linda, so that you can send it to everybody.
Okay.
But it's a series of maps with the range of current Iranian missiles on it. And you'll notice that they can get all the way to about within 50 miles of the seacoast over Europe. So if they were going to there with an EMP weapon, they would literally wipe out the ability to survive for the entire population of Europe. Now, so everyone understands EMP weapons. An electromagnetic pulse is an electrical effect that is caused by chain reactions, but it is not necessarily caused by explosive nuclear reactions. In other words, you can have a messy bomb, or you can have a neutron bomb, or you can have several various versions which will cause an EMP. At about 300 miles up, a single 20-kiloton weapon, for example, according to the U.S. military, would, within the period of a year, kill 80% of the population of the United States, because it would destroy all water, all food, all refrigeration, all pumping, all electricity, all current, all computers. So essentially we'd end up as a country with no currency, no bank accounts, no ownership,
no
water, no food, no refrigeration. After about 3 days, marauding crews would start running across America. A lot of Americans don't know that the U.S. government and the Discovery Channel at that time put out a movie called After Armageddon. And it's actually a training film on how to best manage yourself if you get caught in one of these extreme situations. For example, it tells you how to trash your house so it'll look like it's already been ransacked, etc. Because the biggest danger are these marauding groups of people who used to think that food came from Albertsons or Safeway. And have suddenly discovered that, wow, you mean they got it from somewhere else?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, some of your readers may think I'm being crazy, but in a survey of American high school students recently, the number, it was astounding, the number of people that thought that food actually comes from supermarkets.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But
that's how dumbed down they are.
The idea there's a farm somewhere growing, or a ranch raising that food. Any rate, so at that point, we were going to put in a standard missile-based, which is a missile which is based in the ground. It's an adaptation of the standard missile used by the Navy, which is seaborne, but in this case, they had upgraded it, made it ground-launched. They were putting the radar into Czechoslovakia and the missile site in Poland, and that would have provided substantial protection for Northern Europe against Iranian missiles. Well, of course, the Soviet Union threw an absolute hissy fit at the idea of having that there, and so President Obama canceled the agreement that Bush had made. The result is, and what he said was later was the his solution to the problem, was to use an Aegis-based naval system. The problem is that the naval system in the Western Mediterranean, has a very, very poor protection angle. In the ground-based system, you have a more substantial system. You have greater range. And you're literally in almost the firing line of the missile. So it's, if you will, a much easier track. It's not moving laterally across your field of view at 14 kilometers a second, which is the way it would look to a naval ship. And just so that we're all clear about it, I mean, 14 kilometers a second means that it's moving at escape velocity. I mean, to
right.
go into Earth orbit, leave the clutches of gravity and settle into orbit. So that essentially made it so that Europe, if it was confronted with a nuclear Iran, had to turn to the Russians to be saved. And that is an absolute first. It changed the actual dynamic in the whole of NATO. And that's the moment at which the EEC plans for the Ukraine and other things all started to suddenly cool off. Why? Because their own internal survival security, which used to be guaranteed by the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
is now guaranteed by Moscow.
Right, which is not good.
Given that the economic survival of Russia is basically based upon natural gas lines.
Sure.
That, oh, yeah, run through the Ukraine. My goodness. So he's now captured an even greater stranglehold on gas supplies in Europe. By the way, which the United States has more than enough natural gas to supply, and we could actually take Europe out of needing Russian natural gas at all if our president would actually release those supplies
right.
for being fracked and recovered.
Exactly. I agree
so
with you on that.
So we have a Europe that for 5 years now has been realigning its force structure. Inside of NATO to include the fact that Mr. Putin is part of their internal security equation.
Okay.
So the things that are going on right now, I mean, I never in my life have ever heard a more arrogant statement by anybody than Kerry, who is essentially says to the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, and to its progenitor, the guy who wants to recreate it, let's put it that way. Well, you boys aren't playing according to our club rules. Naughty, naughty. I mean, I don't know where this guy has been, but I spent 30 years when there was a Cold War fighting it in one way or another. And have suffered some of the costs of doing that.
Sure.
And the bottom line is that, and it doesn't matter, I don't want to go into it, but the you know about it, Linda. Bottom line is that the cost to lots of people was their lives and their families and a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that has essentially been lost by this administration.
Right. Well, yeah, it's a problem. Again,
but people know why. That's the thing I'm curious about, because there is a very straightforward explanation for his behavior.
Go ahead and enlighten the audience.
Well, there was a film called Obama 2016.
I've seen it, and that was Dinesh D'Souza.
Which was a very interesting film. It's by an Indian journalist.
Yeah,
who,
Dinesh.
Because he grew up in India. Learned a third world explanation of history called colonialism.
Right.
And essentially what it says is that all the evils that have occurred in the third world are due to the fact that these nasty colonial powers came in and stole everything of value. In colonialist theory, the United States has taken over the English mandate. We are the neo-colonialists, the neo-imperial empire of the world. And that the world would once again retain a balanced political structure and structure of justice if the big bully on the block, i.e. the U.S., could simply be removed as the dominant figure. And when you really understand, that's the exact languaging that's used, could be removed as the dominant figure. And then you listen to Secretary Hagel saying, Americans should be aware that they can no longer count on the United States to be dominant in the air, on the sea, or on land, militarily. You realize that he's actually achieved that goal and that he's been working on it single-mindedly. It isn't that he sees the apologizing to other powers in some particular light. What he sees is the United States has been bullying everyone. And in his academic view of the world, as opposed to, because the thing that's really astounding about him is he's like the pure academic. He knows where he's going, but it's all based on these ideas and assumptions about reality that are only tenable if you've never done anything, if you've never been in the situation. So he's surrounded by advisors and the Pentagon, which he clearly isn't listening to because he doesn't agree with the core reasoning they use about why people are for or against each other. In other words, his view of conflict internationally is our dominance and everybody else is a victim.
Well, isn't that a progressive mindset to make people victims and put them in pigeonholes?
Well, it's a progressive mindset. In this case, colonialist domination is an actual socialist and communist propaganda idea that they spent billions inoculating the world with.
Wow.
I mean, they spent $5 to $10 billion on propagating that message to the world. Why are we so surprised that nobody, you know, that people listened?
Right. Oh boy. So, and I know that, because we haven't had
By the way, you know that guy Lyndon LaRouche?
Yes.
He's one of the big propagators of that structure in the world. He started a political party which used to do that kind of propaganda spreading.
The only time I saw him was on some place on Facebook, and somebody sent all this stuff out. He sounded like a nut job to begin with, so I just dismissed him. I don't know what other people in this chat room think of him or if they even know about him, other than some of the people I have spoken to when they had heard about his ideas and they were poo-pooing this man saying that, oh, yeah, they're going to arrest Obama and all this stuff. And, of course, there was so many people who bought into that thing, and, you know, they were all excited about it. So what I've tried to do, and I know you've kind of helped me see things different or look at things differently, and I do believe that there's another person who I've been watching too who's trying to seek the truth, and that's Glenn Beck. He actually talked about there was a book called Disinformation, and so I need to research all of this. But we've got to be careful, like you say, as to who we're listening to, because there's a lot of disinformation out there, and it's on purpose, and it comes from the left.
It comes from the left, and here's what's really interesting. In the Tea Party movement, when it first started, because I've been there since that, you know, first time lots of people got together, one of the things that was interesting is that lots of different groups came thinking that they had found a target audience. You know, finally everybody's figured out what we've been saying all along, so they're now in perfect agreement with us. And a large number of the theories about English banking controlling the United States, a current present threat from people called Illuminati, etc., are pushed by LaRouche and his group, by the American Labor Party, which he founded, and a few other structures. And in his worldview, things that have happened along the way get added together as part of a structural view that the banking system is the source of all evil, let's put it that way. They may be indeed a very great problem
part of it.
To just just the entire concept of banking is itself, for people like Jefferson, was a major problem, I mean, to be watched out for, simply because mm-hmm. it makes you indebted, and people who are indebted may not do with or choose things which are necessarily best for them, but do it because they're being manipulated by some
right.
other need, was the way his reasoning went. And I think that, you know, the guy had a pretty good idea what he was talking about. The difference is this. If you look at the current world and you ask yourself what real power still exists and exists with whom, the Bank of England at this point is a capital entity with some very interesting problems, all of which reduce its ability to be the key instigator in almost anything you could think of. A number of people that peg them as being core to the world's developing problems, probably pretty big, if it's really warranted or not, mm-hmm. is much, much harder to determine.
Now, so let's leave the Bank of England out of it for a second. What about our Federal Reserve System?
Well, there are fundamentally three problems, and you can argue it from a number of different viewpoints. The first viewpoint is that it would be really wonderful if there was something on Earth which happened to be scarce, but it wasn't so scarce that if somebody manipulated or obtained control over its sources, that it wouldn't throw the entire world economy into a tailspin. I'm talking about attempts like two brothers. They tried to buy all the silver in the world, the Hunt brothers. And they actually came darn close, but the 1% they couldn't get hold of
mm-hmm.
protected the rest of us from their plans. The second thing is that the growth in world economy has shown that the original monetary structures that had been set up and agreed to and were in use in the world no longer were sufficient to fund the rate of growth that was occurring inside our economy and the economies of many other countries. And the result of that was that even though everybody understands the theory of fiat currencies and the concept of, you know, what actually gives a country value, we decided at Bretton Woods to switch to a paper-based currency for the exact reason that there was no other evident route forward to the development of a currency based on a commodity which would have a large enough growth potential to be able to keep our economy from growing without implacable inflation following.
Where was I?
Now, that doesn't mean it was successful. Let's get this straight. Because one of the things that occurred is that there was an assumption that there would be a well thought out and across the board in the world sense effort to make sure that the way the value behind a currency was developed would be stable. And the number one way that was done was with the Bank of International Settlements. Now, why am I talking about that when you asked me about the Fed? Well,
right.
Because the Fed is the U.S. member in the Bank of International Settlements. The Bank of International Settlements is a bank owned by central banks like the Fed. And its purpose is to clear international transactions, particularly transactions between currencies. So the way it's supposed to work is every central bank spent some of their gold reserve in buying shares in the Bank of International Settlements, and that made the Bank of International Settlements an actual gold-based monetary fund. Now,
so where,
that means
where's...
that all currencies are translated, if you will, into a gold price, and then the gold price is used to set exchange rates and other actions between the currencies. So in a strange kind of way, we preserved a chunk of the commodity or gold-based funding, but it was used as a way of allowing supposedly the market to say to us what the relative value of currencies are if we were to translate them into some widely accepted valuable material like gold. Okay.
And where is all of this? Where is all this gonna? Where is this gonna lead to? And I'm hearing all this about other countries dumping the dollar.
Well, in the thing is, the United States has essentially had a veto right over a good deal of the world's economy because of the fact that the dollar is the reserve currency used by the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the things that becomes important for all of us is that the actual pricing mechanisms that are present there, if they change, they need to change very, very slowly. Now, when the Fed goes out and changes the dollar's value, like it's doing with the easing project, I think. I forgot what the exact terminology is.
Quantitative easing?
Yeah, quantitative easing, thank you. What they're actually talking about is easing the value stream generation of M3, which is the number of dollars currently in circulation.
Right.
And the problem that you get into when you do that synthetically is that it wasn't based upon the original notion. The original notion was is that every international transaction would have a sanity test attached to it called, and what's the price of gold in London today, expressed in every currency of the world. And that mechanism is largely, at the moment, shot, which is why the world would like to see a different currency. Now, why would they like to see a different currency? Well, I think the Chinese would really like to be able to tell the United States what the cumulative borrowing power of all of its industries are. I mean, we've had that kind of veto right on other countries for decades, because of the fact that our economy provided them with much-needed stability. I mean, the whole idea that the international system could change, but it changes very, very slowly, and it has this internal mechanism for allowing the price of currencies to stabilize, becomes a huge problem. They also act as a guarantor. You know, Bank of International Settlements also guarantees the completion of transactions, all of which are very useful things when provided. So people are willing to put up with a certain level of American intrusion into everything as long as that intrusion provides some benefit back that's considered useful or necessary. The problem is that since our president actually wants us to be out of the, he considers
right.
us being in the way of the world, he wants us to get out of the way. And the best way to do that is to horrendously inflate our currency to the point where the valuable things that it provides the world as the world's reserve currency are demeaned or reduced or lessened. Because if our role as the provider of the world's reserve currency substantively changes, believe me, our literal political standing in the world will change as well.
Right. I think we're seeing that already. I think people get nervous because they see the things that they see around them. They see unemployment. They see high costs of housing in California. They see businesses and individuals flowing out of California, like in mass exodus, because they're sick of it. I think they have a right to be concerned about, and then they hear about China wanting to be, you know, the dominant ones. Russia wants to, I don't know what they're doing other than...
They're reestablishing the Soviet Union.
Well, exactly, and I think that he's, if I'm not mistaken, that Putin is wants to not only reestablish that, but he's one of those, like the imperialist or czar, based person.
Well, he's a KGB officer.
Well, I know what he was.
The guy who was the number one in the club of the power havers in Soviet Russia. When the Soviet Union fell apart, he went being from an absolute dictatorial part of a club that had absolute dictatorial powers in the country to being an also-ran.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that were not particularly negative about the Soviet Union's earlier format were very, 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 very upset when Mr. Reagan actually turned out to get listened to. It was not a good day for, you know, people who believe in communism. So you have a situation where you have a person who's dedicated to the reformation, at least of the Soviet part, the Russian part of the Soviet Union, who has been handed a chance to do it.
Sure.
I don't think that, you know, I think he was hoping that someday there would be an opportunist moment he could play upon.
Sure.
But never even in his wildest dreams did he think that he'd be opposed by somebody with five left feet, who would actually mess up his own country's national interests.
Yeah, I've got about 3 minutes left, and I'm going to thank everybody for tuning in. Bill, Doc, the guest, Kenneth Lachlan, Todd Washburn, Yola FT, everybody that's out there, and Mikey B. And I'm going to ask Mike to say goodnight to everybody, and then I'm going to play a little music and all that stuff. So hang in there for a sec. Mikey B., are you still there?
Good night, everybody.
Okay, God bless. And Ken, thanks for calling in and kind of talking about all this stuff. And because everybody needs to know these things, and we need to do our own homework. So,
as I said, I'll send all that stuff so you can send it out to people.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much. And I will see you Sunday for church.
All righty. God bless everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
God bless the United States.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, folks, I'm going to do a little bit of music. And whoever wants to go to Patriot Families at the end for the chat room, we can do that if this will play. Of course. Trying to do this video.
Wait.
Good night. God bless. And see you guys tomorrow for Terry Rowland's show. Be blessed, everybody. Have a great one.